W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Officials in Ukraine say the country's interior minister and three children are among 18 people killed when a helicopter crashed in a suburb of Kyiv today. The BBC's James Waterhouse is in Brovary.
It was a government helicopter, and I can see a rotary blade that's fallen on top of a vehicle. There are three or four bodies to the right under a foil blanket, and then there is a kindergarten across the way with smoke coming out.
Ukraine says 15 children are among the 25 injured. Brutal storms that have left Californians dealing with heartbreak from damaging mudslides have moved to the Rocky Mountains. CBS's Jared Hill.
Severe storms continue to move eastward to the Denver region, with forecasts of high winds and over a foot of snow. The overnight snowfall has already led to flight cancellations and crashes on the roads.
Officials in California say the ground there is so saturated, the danger of more mudslides, landslides, and sinkholes could go on for months. As the special counsel prepares to investigate classified material connected to the president, there's an indication Mr. Biden is perplexed. Correspondent Adriana Diaz.
CBS News has learned that privately he's expressed frustration the documents ended up at his home and private office. The White House has been criticized for not being more forthcoming.
A Massachusetts man accused of killing his wife is scheduled to appear in court today. Norfolk County District Attorney Michael Morrissey.
Mr. Walsh will be transported to the Quincy District Court for arraignment on the charge of murder.
47-year-old Brian Walsh initially arrested for misleading investigators after his wife Anna failed to show up at her real estate job in Washington, D.C. Police say they found blood and a knife in the basement of the couple's home. There's hopeful news about a possible vaccine for RSV, a respiratory illness that's been making the rounds this winter.
Moderna's is a messenger RNA vaccine, the same technology involved in its COVID-19 injection. The company says late-stage trials have shown it to be safe and nearly 84% effective in preventing at least two symptoms of RSV in older adults. It plans to file for FDA approval in the first half of this year. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
The world's oldest living person has died at a nursing home in France. Sister Andre was 118 years old. After she tested positive for COVID 2 years ago, she said,
"J'ai pas eu peur parce que j'avais pas peur de mourir."
She had no fear because she wasn't afraid of dying. Sister Andre speculated the secret to her longevity was chocolate and a glass of wine every day. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hungered in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. 33 today under overcast skies, northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 27. 33 tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff. I am joined by Katrina Hintner.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you here, Katrina. Thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
We say a good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods for letting us bower Katrina for the morning. That's always nice of them.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it, too.
We got fun things lined up for you this hour, everybody. 7 o'clock hour. That ain't right. Or we'll get into some... our National Day of Calendar, touch on some of that. I've got a That Ain't Right story I'm dying to get to, so I guess that I just was immediately like going right to that.
Wait.
I gotta wait. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. In the 9 o'clock hour, get into some entertainment news, good stories, That Ain't Right stories. We'll talk about not only what we got going on here as a schedule here at the station, but Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway. All kinds of fun things to talk about today. About 30 hours a show. We're going to get into 3 hours here somehow.
We're going to figure it out.
We
can. We've done that before, and we'll do it again.
That's right. You hear that voice. That is Katrina Hintner with us this morning. Katrina, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. I want to catch up. You know what I really want to talk about. But let's go ahead and start with talking about Family Natural Foods and how things are going over there in the new year.
Yeah, the new year is going well, and you kicked it off very well for me, so thank you. I'm here chatting just a little bit about New Year's, but overall everything at FNF, is good. It's bringing in new energy for the new year with new people. I like to focus a little bit on the new year and not just like, hey, New Year's resolutions, because you heard Steve and I talk about it last week. We'll maybe talk about it again because we had so much content of information and we only got to so much of it.
Yeah.
So, but just highlighting the new year, and I really like to give some intentionality to the new year. And I say this to myself too, everyone, because I could be putting in a little bit more intentionality of what is it that I want to focus on this year? What are goals? But they don't have to be so strict, but it just depends on your personality.
Yeah.
I would say take some time, focus on what is it that you are wanting to add to your new year, your new you, or subtract from it? Mm. Or what is it that you're craving? Maybe it's that community connection that we've all been kind of missing. Maybe it's physical movement and community connection. Great, go for walks. Go to the YMCA with that friend of yours that you consistently have that connection with. I like to focus in on what is it that we need right now and really honing on that. I studied wellness at UWSP, and they talk about the seven dimensions of wellness. And I'm going to just mention all of the dimensions. As a person thinks about them, the new year, and maybe one of these areas specifically align with them, and you can dig deeper like, oh yeah, like financial wellness, I should look into that. Or, you know, there's all different kinds of wellnesses. But the seven dimensions, according to UWSP, which is actually where wellness started and all the programs started in wellness, started at UWSP, and then it's grown throughout the United States. Fun fact about UWSP.
Cool. I love fun facts.
Me too.
You know I love fun facts.
Yes. So spiritual wellness is one, and you can think about that in many different ways, whether it's, you know, like more of like a yoga spiritual meditation, or it's going to church and prayer. Maybe it's out in nature and you're just connecting with being out there, your God, your person, your connection. Yeah. And then there's physical, right? So exercising, movement. But again, that can look different for everybody. Find your physical. Maybe it's a dance class. Maybe it's a just walking. Everybody has different things. Emotional, right? So how are my emotions? Checking in on that. Like, do I need to talk to somebody and get more clarification on how I'm thinking and processing? There's so many layers with emotional wellness, but just being... and healthy within that too. Career, right? So checking in with your career, and with that could be like financial as well. Like, how is this job fitting for me? And it can be beyond just like I go to work, right? A lot of people are retired, so you're not getting a paycheck necessarily for work, but career. So how do we, what is it that I want to put my time into for the day? You can think about it that way too. And then there's three more, and it's intellectual. So are you like stimulating your brain? Are you researching things? Are you having these interesting conversations that you're like going back and forth with and learning different things? So intellectual, and then environment. So how can we support the environment that we're in? How can we support the planet? Different things like that, environmental wellness. And then social, again, right? That social piece of we are social creatures, some of us more than others, but how do we fill that social space for us? Some many more and some may need less. So looking at those is a really fun thing to do for the new year. So then you can kind of think about that, or think about like a pie shape and be like, okay, what is out of balance that I need to put energy into? Or what do I have too much going on that I need to really look at it as a like a whole balanced pie shape, if you are following my focus.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's really insightful. It's very helpful, especially coming, to be honest, from somebody who knows what they're talking about. And not just from your training, your schooling and everything, but the many, many clients you have helped at Family Natural Foods in these areas and everything. The growing up in that building, you know, and with your mom and dad and all those things, and the things that they probably taught too. It's all really interesting. Also reminds me, I have not done any of that. I really need to put some work in on the new year.
I'll make a pie shape for you, and you can practice your wellness and look what's in balance and what needs more.
I could probably use to do that.
Okay.
As soon as you got like even a minute into that, I was kind of like, huh. I haven't done any of that.
Well, and
I want to. I have the intentions to.
Right.
I think I want to say last year I had the feelings of, I need to focus on certain things, some of the things you mentioned there, and completely lost them as work got building.
Yeah, right. And there's a lot of new things for you last year, too. And a lot of people have a lot of things going on. So with that, you don't have to do this in the new year. You can start this at any point. New Year's resolutions should be whenever it works for you, resolutions,
100%.
And try to stick to it, right? There's a focus of like sticking to it. So it can happen at any point.
Yeah.
And so don't beat yourself up if it's like, oh, it's March and I'm looking at this. It's also, I think this is another great part of wellness, is sketch this time aside. Maybe you go to a coffee shop and you're like actually journal and you're like focus in on, making intentional time to think about me and what I can do for the new year. And it doesn't have to be a big plan. Or maybe you're that social creature that's like, oh, I need a brainstorm with somebody. So you bring that person in with you that can really like kind of
like
guide
that.
You with that, because we all can, like, buddies are great and they can help you with so many different things.
Accountability can go a long way. Not so much holding you in line, but like the accountability of when you do accomplish something, also having somebody else to, you know, help you build up that confidence and that, you know, hey, this is working. Hey, this is going good. It's good to have that on both sides, to have that person who can hold you. Hey, you know, maybe today didn't go the way you wanted it to, but tomorrow's got to, or you got to shoot for it. Or, hey, nice job today. Having both sides of that is helpful.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate that, Katrina. I also appreciate the idea of giving me some more homework.
Because you need it.
No, it's a nice reminder. It's a nice... with the one of the things that I think stands out about New Year's resolutions, it's a one time of the year we do a reminder. We are all on the same page of like, hey, we should work on ourselves right now and this year and going forward. And the history of resolutions is well documented. You don't need me to get into that. But the intention of a New Year's resolution is, I think, the thing we miss sometimes. That means almost as much as accomplishing the goal. To intend to get better, to work to get better. We are all a work in progress.
Yes.
Every single one of us. If you're working to get better, if you're working to grow and evolve as a human being, that's a big first step. It's not to say that that's all, okay, your job is done.
Right.
But that's a big part of it. And when you have more... I don't want to say assistance or help. I don't have the right word.
Tools.
Yes. There it is. That's the perfect word. Tools. When you have something like you laid out there, I think it breaks it down a little bit easier.
It guides you, because it's overwhelming thinking about all the pieces. It's so overwhelming. And it's like, where do I start? Oh, but if I look at these sectors in our life, and the seven dimensions of wellness really should categorize really all aspects of life. So maybe you just want to look at like two or three of them right now, and then and then maybe a couple other days or a week later, you look at other parts of it, and then you'll figure out where your balance is. So there's probably exercises out there online to figure out. But if anybody has questions, they are welcome to come visit me at Family Natural Foods and chat more about it, because I love talking about wellness and like bettering ourselves and all sorts of crazy, interesting things.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. You can stop by there. They're open 9 to 6, 9 to 4 some days.
Mm-hmm.
Over at, darn it, I just
910 West Grand Ave.
I know the address.
Wisconsin Rapids.
I've been saying it long enough. It's like Misty's. I ever get lost, I'll just go to your place or Misty's. I know exactly how to get to both places.
We will help you there.
Please help me.
And they will feed you. So there you go.
So it's nice. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Family Natural Foods, but actually Katrina sidetracked me, and I have to call an audible this morning because you mentioned something that I just find so interesting. And I've read a lot about it. We've talked about this before and everything, even the last time you were with us, about cold dipping.
Yep.
And for the audience that doesn't know, that is at this time of year, jumping into a lake.
So like a polar plunge, essentially.
Yeah, yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we will wrap with that. But Katrina, you've been doing more of this.
So I was briefly telling James, everyone, that since my birthday, I've been oddly attracted to water and wanting to jump in the water. And there's lots of health benefits out there of cold dipping, not just like polar plunging, jumping in and jumping out, but really, so if you look up like Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-U-F, he's been doing this for years and actually has gotten he's been getting a lot of research, like backed up research on the health benefits really of the brain health. There's so many other things that have health benefits. How I look at it is, one, I'm kind of like interested in it. Like, I just keep wanting to learn more, and I oddly have this like healthy addiction. I don't know, healthy addiction, right? to wanting to go back in the water. But it all started around my birthday in November. And then it was like once a month, we just jump in some water and figure it out. And now it's been like a weekly thing. Mm. And there's what I love is we've been creating this like handful of people that are like, I want to do this too. And like first time, but you can just jump in and jump out. That's great. But I actually try to stay in. I think I've been in for about 2.5 minutes long. Wow. And I have other friends that are staying in for like 5 minutes or more. Like everybody's kind of at their own level, and this beautiful thing, like take it as it is. But it's a mental thing for me. Like there's a lot of health benefits. Some people get struggle with addiction actually get benefits from this, because you're working on your brain, you're working on challenging yourself with something hard. It increases your dopamine in your body. It has health benefits to our there's like brown fat in your body, and it's a really healthy fat, and we want more of that.
Brown epoxy tissue?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful for that. Honestly, James, this is going to sound crazy, like I've been doing this, but I don't even know all the health benefits. I just do it because my brain and my body wants to do it. I'm not doing it for this list of health benefits. I'm doing it because I love the brain challenge.
There's got to be a part of you that enjoys that part of it, too. Mm-hmm. I imagine that a lot of the things, whatever the number is of things that you do, they have a calculated reason. I'm doing this and taking this so that it benefits me this way.
Yeah.
To have something just to do it, that's got to feel good. The health benefits are nice, but it isn't necessarily the reason you're jumping into the water in January.
Yeah, it helps with inflammation, circulation, different things like that. Also, as a former athlete, a person that definitely moved her body a lot and has done a handful of different events, I like it for the brain game, less of the like physical, okay, I did a marathon and now my body is beat and my joints are going to be ruined by the time I'm 50. Like, I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But it brings me to a couple different things. One is it brings me to like challenging me. I'm not against another person trying to like beat their time. It's so focused on self, not others, which I appreciate, because athletics is so focused. It's on both, but it can very much be about beating the other person.
Competition.
However, it doesn't have to be that way. I didn't treat it intensely like that, but I definitely have a competitive edge. But I don't doing this. And I also, it's just like this powerful, like, I will say, I just been introducing it, like I would just go up to my like belly button for a couple times because sure. I was not ready to jump like all in. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go to like my shoulders. They say you get the best benefit if you go like shoulder in because there's different nerves in your body that really do best with immersion, if that. But now I've been actually like dipping my head in. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's fun.
The ice baths and other hydrotherapies can reduce cholesterol, boost your immune system, help treat immune inflammation, ease pain, speed recovery from sports injuries, which is why you have the famous sports ice baths that many athletes, especially football players, do. I remember seeing my dad do that a lot, a hockey player and all that. It's a type of cold water swimming boosts the body's stores of so-called brown epoxy tissue, a type of good body fat activated by low temperatures. We've talked before about this too on the air with you, with others, about, you know, it's a very big thing in Russia to take these ice baths throughout a lot of our colder climates. This is something that they've been doing for hundreds of years. It's such an interesting thing. It's something I would like to try. It's something I would like to do once I gain weight. I don't know.
You can't put that excuse out. I'm going to rope him in. Just wait for next week and he'll be like, all right, guys, I'm addicted now.
There's certain things that I want to do to be able to say I've done them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a ton of those for me because I've got a lot of it out of my system when I was young.
Yeah, right.
But this is definitely one of them. I am a big fan and was a big fan of Anthony Bourdain when he was around. And he had a couple of shows that he did, and he would travel to places and talk about food and everything, but experience the culture a bit. He went out to Russia once and did this. And seeing him do it, the way he talked about it and everything, just really drew me. Like, I already thought it was an interesting thing, but something about him seeing him do it and putting himself in that position and everything, being a person that was willing to try different things, but maybe not necessarily something like that, and then to see him do it, it kind of got me to think about it more and more. And I don't know, we have the polar plunge every year we talk about and everything, and that's such an interesting thing and such a great cause. And so that initially got me to want to, like, well, Special Olympics, boom, I'll do anything.
Absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely, right?
But then, you know, just hearing, again, seeing the Anthony Bourdain thing, hearing other people talk about it, now hearing you talk about it, just really seems like something to try. I want to get to the polar plunge, but real quickly before we do, if there's anybody out there that does attempt this, does give this a shot, Katrina, are there things that they should, you know, maybe know first off going before they go ahead and just jump really, really, go just jumping into the Wisconsin River or something?
Yeah, I've been dabbling with it, and every time I'm learning efficiencies or like what I need, like what are things that are helpful. One, don't do it by yourself. Have somebody that you're doing this with. Also, a really great way to intro is cold showers. Like, so you start with warm and then you work your way into cold. I'm just going to tell you the truth, I don't do that. I don't want to do a cold shower, but I want to do this cold dip, which is oddly you know, different.
I'm the same way.
Interesting. You can go all in. It's really fun also because, like, I watch the men that do this and they just jump in, and the women that do it glide in and then like work on like in a different way. So it's so fun watching like the brains and how everybody does it differently. But there's definitely some tips, like, you know, make sure you have plenty of towels, you have plenty of blankets, you have you know, something you can put your feet on afterwards. If you have more questions, you can ask me. It's like this odd new hobby of mine. But I will say, to wrap up with this too on my end, is a warm shower afterwards is awesome because it warms your soul.
I can only imagine. Yes,
what I've been doing, because my friend currently is working on a mobile sauna business, so she has a mobile sauna, and we go into that afterwards, and that's called Nordic Night Sauna, and so that'll be more to the public in the next little bit. It's up in the Stevens Point area.
Cool.
But so that's we've been doing that.
Nice.
And that's great.
I'm a water person. You know, not just because I'm a Pisces, I just love water. So I think that's another pull to me for this, and I think it is for others too. Just a little bit of research I've done on it. That's interesting. And talking to people to do the polar plunge, you know, when Sheriff Becker joins us, talking to him about it and everything, on air, off air, he's got a tint in his eye about it. That there's a part of him, whether I don't know if he knows it or not, but it enjoys it. I think part of that is certainly the cause, and that brings you to it too. And speaking of the polar plunge, join them Saturday, February 4th at Anchor Bay Bar and Grill for the Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge, presented by Ho-Chunk Gaming Casino in Nakusa, to help raise funds for Special Olympics Wisconsin athletes. Again, it'll be at Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. They're going to have live music, food, beverages, hot cocoa, merchandise. Chili Bear going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
You know it's a party if Chili Bear going to be there. The event will kick off about 8:30. From 10:30 will be registration. The opening ceremony will be at 11. Plunge will immediately follow. You can register at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. It's all one word, SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. Appreciate everybody that is a part of this and to help Special Olympics do the great things that they are working to do in our states and all around our country.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate the insight from you on this, Katrina. That was awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks for asking, James.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by E-Way Sales and Pawn and the Southwood County Humane Society. E-Way Sales and Pawn. When the money's gone, it's time to pawn. With two locations in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. 33 today, under overcast skies, northeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow showers likely, tonight, 27. 33, tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow, tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Katrina and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thank you for joining us here on The Morning Show. It's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this January 18th, 2023. It is, Museum Selfie Day.
Oh.
It's an interesting one. I would be very careful about that. I think that there's certain places you don't need to take selfies at selfies with. But I do think at a museum, like taking, whether it's, I just would forget about me in the picture. I want to take a picture of the actual paintings and things like that.
They just want to prove that they've seen the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yes, interesting.
National Thesaurus Day. We're actually going to talk a little bit more about this a little later. But this is a fun one. I wanted to see the history of the thesaurus, though.
Yes.
That I'm curious about.
Just the name alone is pretty great.
It's a great name. There are certain names that are just fun to say no matter what. Thesaurus is one of them. Let's see here. So we know what a thesaurus is. While many of us don't know, don't use the great expanse of verbiage that's available to us, the expanse of language really gives us an amazing ability to express ourselves with beauty and precision. Thus, the thesaurus is a great thing for us to be able to, go to whenever we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing any history of it, who made the first thesaurus and who created it and all that stuff.
We'll have to look into it, I guess.
I am definitely looking into that one later. That is dead. That I can guarantee you there will be an hour of my day probably put aside to that.
Nice.
For better or worse. It's, bother. It's National Winnie the Pooh Day. Oh, bother. One of the cuddliest holidays of the year, the National Winnie the Pooh Day, celebrates the birthday of author A.A. Milne, the creator of Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
Winnie the Pooh first appeared on the printed page in 1926 together with his friends Piglet, Tigger, and Eeyore. All of them were based on toys owned by the author's son, who was also featured in the famous stories as Christopher Robin. The character later starred in a series of much-loved Disney films.
1926. Wow, it's been around so much longer than I think.
I don't think I realized that. The name Winnie, for instance, came from Milan's teddy bear Winnie. The Pooh part was from the nickname of a swan he'd met on a holiday. The rest of the names, besides those mentioned above, were purely creations of his in his mind.
Interesting.
I do know that one of the things that he intended was for all the characters to kind of have different personality traits.
Yep.
And to for Christopher Robin to kind of almost maneuver his way through these emotions and feelings as he grew and everything. The life lessons that were taught, of course. There's a wonderful, wonderful book, the Tao of Piglet or Pooh. I think it's called. My sister got me into it. It's really good. Very good books. There's a couple of them, I think. Those are really good. But I would be remiss if I did not share a story with the audience. My mother used to work at Book World.
Yes.
And back then, when she was working there, Beanie Babies were really big.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And all these companies came up with their own versions of Beanie Babies. Mm-hmm. And Disney was no different. Or the people, yeah, Disney was no different. And they came out with a series of Winnie the Pooh beanies. Hanukkah comes around, and my mom gets us each one for Hanukkah. And we always went youngest to oldest. So my brother opens his. He's Tigger. That makes sense. My little brother is Tigger.
Yep.
He's definitely, you know, that's him. Jillian, my sister, opens hers, and she is Piglet. And, and that is, again, perfect. Jillian is such a Piglet. It's. I think you can make an argument for Rue, but I'll go ahead with Piglet. I think my mom was right. I'm the oldest. I am the oldest in the family. There's certain things that you get with being the oldest. I would think being the lead character, being Winnie the Pooh, would be one of them. You know, easily. I'm Winnie the Pooh. I'm the oldest.
Oh, right, right.
It's just a
definitely.
Given.
Yep.
Eeyore. Eeyore. My mother thinks of me as a manic, depressive donkey who can't keep his tail. Like, that's what my mother thought of me.
No, did she trade it in right away? She's
No.
I accidentally forgot to get poo. I'm so sorry.
She completely leaned into it. She completely leaned into it. Like, Jimmy, you're Eeyore. You, whether you like it or not, you're Eeyore.
Oh, no. So then did she, like...
It's horrible.
Oh, no. Do you have this still?
I still have it.
Okay.
I still have Eeyore,
you didn't burn it or anything? Okay.
Nope. Still got him. Because, to be honest, I love Eeyore. I really do.
Well,
I think
I think
nobody gave him enough love.
Everybody had, like you were saying before, the characters are great because there's a representation of everybody and every emotion and kind of like, hey, you know what? It's okay to be the Eeyore of the world, you know. But my question for you, James, is that have you switched your Eeyore to Pooh now? Like, have you changed yourself to now be Pooh?
I think I'm like a combination.
Eeyore with Pooh shirt.
Yeah, yes, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. I really have tried not to be that way, but I think that like a lot of things in life, the stripes are on your skin, not your fur. You could shave and you're still going to have those stripes. I think there's certain things that are always going to be part of my personality. and having my tail pinned on me is one of them, I think. It's a good, it's a fun, interesting thing, too.
Yeah.
The whole Winnie the Pooh characters and all that. There's so many different interesting, like, kids' stories like that that have almost just as mean as much to us as adults as they did as kids. I think those stories are some of them. National Michigan Day.
Ooh.
Let's see here. Is this that? Admitted to the Union in 1837 as the 26th state, Michigan is the state located in the Great Lakes region of the United States and has that weird,
the mitt.
Yeah,
right?
The mitt.
Or no, the mitt is below and it's the...
Yeah.
What do they call it? The bridge?
Bridge or whatever that is, that extension up there. Just weird.
Should know they're our neighbor. What am I doing here?
Really feels like they didn't know what to do with that.
I love Michigan. Michigan, I feel like, is a gem. There's, you know, there's big city if you want it. The UP is raw and interesting and gorgeous. I mean, there's some beautiful national parks up there. And I don't know. I find that it's a gem.
I've been to Kalamazoo once. It's the only time I've been to Michigan, and I was there for like a half a night. So I wasn't even there that long. But I've always, it's one of those places I want to check out. I really want to see Detroit.
Yep.
And way up in that UP. I want to go up there, too.
We had a good Picture Rocks. Way up there. Pictured Rocks National Park is up on the way top, and it is absolutely gorgeous up there. It's definitely worth visiting.
Anybody that's shown me pictures of it, I'm floored, blown away by it. So, yeah, I have to check that out. National Peking Duck Day. No, thank you. it's each their own. There's more for everybody else then because I don't like it. So. I'm just not big on duck. I'm not big on...
You've tried it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We had a couple of Asian families in our high rise, and they made a lot of this kind of stuff. And I tried bits and pieces of it, but was never too huge on a lot of those things. I'm such a spice guy. I'm such a I'm a Dago. I'm Italian. I mean, I eat Italian food. There's very few Italians that you know that have great palates. Like that's a horrible stereotype.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's not true at all. I don't think so.
It's just me. But I do know, I do think that it's you talk to an Italian about Italian. What kind of food do you like? Italian. Like immediately biased for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's been part because most of us grow up in families to make this stuff from scratch,
which is totally different.
You grow up with anything from scratch, you're going to love that thing that was made from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it is National Gourmet Coffee Day.
Woohoo!
Whether it's the rich flavor of the caffeine boost that can help a person wake up in the morning, coffee has become an important part of the start or middle or end of your day. I love coffee. I don't really think it really necessarily wakes me up.
Okay.
I don't put a ton of sugar, cream, or anything like that in my coffees. And I don't really feel like more awake after I finish a cup or anything like that. It's such a routine thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much that. And having that familiarity, that that balance in entropy that exists, you know, and I think that's a big part of it, not just for me, but for a lot of people.
Yes, agreed.
Most people look for a way to start their day or something to kick it off, if you will, to get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee tends to be that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, okay, even if it doesn't wake you up, like you're saying, it's like pushing the button and just the routine of making it and then sipping it and the enjoyment of it.
Gourmet coffee is a product of the ever-increasing care and attention by coffee lovers to provide a high-quality product. But there are so many people that like, you know, what some would call bad coffee, cheap coffee, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that prefer that kind of stuff. And people that will go into a Starbucks and just laugh and then leave. Like, that's it. That's a good. There's people that just want their black coffee, and then there's people that want a billion different coffees. I think gourmet coffee is a good one. It's also a good chance to try something different maybe today. My daughter and I, whenever we go to coffee shops in Point, she always tries something different. And every time I'm there, I'm like, I'm not going to get a mocha this time. I'm going to try something different. I'm trying,
nice.
And I get a mocha every time.
Well, do you try her coffee then?
No, I haven't yet. I should, though. I should do
maybe
that.
Maybe you should be like, okay, I'm going to go with the mocha. Because I love it and I'm consistent and routine and that's just who I am and I'm okay with it. But can I try yours?
Yeah,
and then next time maybe be like, I want that.
I think you're onto something there. I think I'm going to do that. I hope she's listening so she's been warned by this.
Be prepared. Be prepared.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's Katrina and James taking it through your morning on WFHR.
From the Civic Media News Desk, here's a look at your local news. I'm Melissa Kay. The person who was found dead in a submerged vehicle has been identified. Portage County Sheriff Mike Lucas said the deceased individual was 57-year-old Vince Kluck from the town of Linwood. Kluck's vehicle was found submerged in a pond on January 15th and had been there for several days. Police are investigating but seem to think Kluck drove the vehicle into the pond intentionally. They are not considering it to be suspicious. Despite the warm weather, skiing at Granite Peak is still open for business. Officials say they haven't had to make any more snow than usual and trails are open. They are looking to add more snow to 5 trails on the west side when temperatures drop later this week. Governor Tony Evers and Democratic lawmakers tried to put the question of abortion rights on the ballot in place of the welfare question. Republicans instead pushed through their question if work searches should be required for unemployed people to get benefits. Governor Evers said the referendum question wouldn't provide any useful information since state law already requires work searches. The governor and Democratic lawmakers argue that the legislature should focus on restoring abortion rights, which seem to have broad support based on polling data. They say Republicans want the welfare question on the ballot to increase GOP turnout in April for the state Supreme Court race. A man wanted his uncle to be administered ivermectin to treat his COVID-19 infection. The hospital said no. Now the Wisconsin Supreme Court will decide if the hospital should have been forced to give him the medication, approved only to treat parasitic worms and skin conditions in humans. Alan Gall is suing the Aurora Medical Center in Summit because doctors there refused to provide and administer the drug to his uncle, John Zingsheim. The case will decide if courts can force doctors to provide treatments that the medical community finds to be substandard. Gall's attorney, Karen Mueller, said the case will show if people in Wisconsin have any rights. Mueller campaigned during the Republican primary on a promise to investigate hospitals for not prescribing ivermectin for COVID-19. Scientists are studying the drug, but a clinical trial needs to be completed before enough information is available to show whether it is a safe and effective treatment for COVID-19. A new statewide task force is created to combat human trafficking and support survivors. Attorney General Josh Call announced the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force, which will be led by the Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation. It combines federal, state, and tribal law enforcement, as well as victim service providers. Their job is to ensure justice is served to those committing human trafficking crimes and support victims who survive these crimes. Their mission is to develop and implement a coordinated and collaborative, victim-centered, and trauma-informed, multidisciplinary response to human trafficking in Wisconsin. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast today with a high of 33. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. Snow showers likely again tomorrow, 33. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR. Smooth operators all around.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Sade. So many dances to this song. So many. I know she had a couple of hits, but one of the smoothest, like, she didn't have a ton of them.
Uh-uh. No, she didn't.
But she had a... She had a moment in time where it's like almost everybody still knows who she is.
Right.
Even though she didn't like have a long career or anything like that. It's interesting. Not a lot of artists like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sade. That's the name, too.
The name is smooth. The name is just smooth.
It matches her voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering, I wanted that to keep going.
repeat. And sorry, guys. It's been an hour.
Yep.
I wonder if Seth is going to, or maybe he already has, just like put a song back there that he knows you don't like.
Oh, he has. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he has. Yes. And I have no doubt that he is working on more.
That's good. You gotta do a little bit of that just to get you in the morning.
Yeah. I wanted to go over, and I actually wanted to do this last week, and we just did not have the time, some of the more fun stories to come out of Wisconsin in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a little, you know, as we do in the first month here, first couple of weeks of the new year, a bit of a year in review, a look ahead.
Yeah.
A lot of those morning show tropes, those
yes.
kind of things.
Hey, we like it. I'll take it.
But when I was doing this, I don't know if I remember some of these. And that was kind of interesting.
Right, because you're researching this all the time, getting all the information. So there's some that snuck past you, James?
I think so. Like, I don't remember this. Only in Wisconsin could the love for a convenience store conglomerate inspire Etsy listings like a custom probably at Quick Trip doormat or a keychain that reads, "Want anything from Quick Trip?" But this year, a Kenosha man took his love for the quintessential Wisco gas station one step further by fashioning a chicken coop with an actual Quick Trip. According to CBS 58, the finished coop even had a red neon sign dubbing it Chick Trip.
I'm going to show
Katrina a picture of this here.
Yeah.
And that is pretty good.
That's nice.
You did a really good job.
I would like to be one of those chickens in there, I think, if I were a chicken.
It's got a huge setup too. I mean, this thing is really
big. Like, it's got like a nice lit up sign that says it there on there, which is great. Chick Trip, and then it's got like the openings for it, but everything's like very universal. Like the coloring, everything follows through with it. There's lighting down below at night that they can have.
This looks like the nicest chicken coop I've ever seen. Yeah,
it's very fancy.
That's pretty cool. That is a really. I love the creativity of these things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I can't really necessarily prove this. And I'm definitely biased about this. Mm-hmm. But the creativity of Midwesterners is unlike any other.
Yes.
It's unparalleled.
Yes.
Love it. There was another one here who, where was that? In some animal news, Outagamie County Sheriff's deputies got a dose of the Wild Kingdom in September when they were assigned the task of corralling a pair of runaway zebras.
Ooh.
The animals, which belonged to an area family, were quickly rounded up, but not without the deputies remarking on how unusual the call was. Having a garbage truck driver call you and say, "Well, there are two zebras in the road."
Oh, my goodness.
"It's a bit unusual," said Sergeant Nathan Borman.
Oh, my gosh. In Wisconsin. Yes. What would you do? That would be crazy.
If I am the dispatcher taking that call, they'd be in as serious as they take their job.
Yes.
And so thankful to every dispatcher out there. Such hard, great workers they are.
Mm-hmm.
I would be, if I was doing that job for 30 years, I would take that call and would have to have a moment of like, okay, are they messing with me?
Right.
Are they messing with me?
Right.
You'd almost have to have that at least cross your mind.
Yes.
I know you're supposed to, you have to take every call seriously, even if you think it is somebody messing with you or a prank or something like that, because you just never know. But in that one, I've got to think that you're really leaning at like, come on, tell me, come on. I don't know though. In the fall feelings department, a Green Lake County man narrowly missed out on his chance for a spot in the pumpkin farming record books. According to an October 31st WTMJ story, Mike Schmidt grew a pumpkin that clocked in at 2,520 pounds. At that weight, it was poised to be the second heaviest pumpkin in the world in 2021.
Wow.
The only problem was it was cracked, disqualified it from competition.
Mm.
Schmidt took the news in stride, however, telling the station, "It happens, there's no crying in pumpkin growing."
Oh.
I like that.
That is good.
And again, Midwest mentality, we'll just go at it again and do it next year.
Yep, exactly.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. There was a Wisconsin man got sprayed by a skunk while hiding from the police.
Karma.
Yep, that's what it is. I really like this one too. And this is another one that I don't remember that much talking about. Wisconsin man Steve Keller garnered media attention this year for his traveling snake show, which he has been bringing to scouts and other groups across the state. Featuring an assortment of non-poisonous snakes, the show is aimed at dispelling misconception about the world's most misunderstood creatures.
I
don't remember that one.
I don't remember that one either. I mean, you've shared a lot of really good stories, but I don't remember that one either.
I do. It does seem like something that would be like would do well around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting.
So if he hasn't, maybe we just need him here.
We need more info. We need more info. We want to learn.
Bring him on the air here.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, can we get him on Morning Magazine? I don't know how people feel about snakes in this building, so I don't. They don't bother me one way or the other, so I don't know. But I don't know.
You could bring him in on your Thursday 30-minute. Segue of the shelter.
I like that.
Humane Society.
Thinking. That's good. I like that. Finally, this one, and it's actually a That Ain't Right story as well. It's our first one of the day. This is what I was talking about, That Ain't Right stories, because I do not remember this one, but it is not shocking to me at all. It doesn't surprise me at all, and I do feel like even if you haven't heard this story or you don't remember it, you've heard this story before. Sometimes the concept of what is and isn't street legal can be up for debate. But a North Central Wisconsin man apparently thought he had landed on a great idea when he decided to use a camping chair as a driver's seat in his pickup truck. That didn't actually have any seats in it. According to WGN-TV, the man was pulled over by state troopers. It is unclear what he was cited for, but he was fined, of course. And yes, that is illegal to do.
It doesn't seem safe at all. No. Like, unless he's got, I mean, not unless, like, doesn't seem safe, period. But did he have it even strapped down?
Yeah. It sounds like about as safe as, like, how, and I don't know, I haven't been obviously in a kids' bus in ages, but
right.
Remember school buses?
Mm-hmm.
Like, school buses had no seatbelts.
Yeah, no seatbelts.
Had this
still
big
don't.
Metal bar that was right in front of every seat mm-hmm. that, you know, the, to branch the other seat in yep. front of you that was just there just to smash your face on.
Yeah.
That's it. When you
yep.
hit a hard stop yep. or something like that.
They're
like,
cushioned now on the other side of
are
it.
They?
But,
that's
you know, but yeah,
but
there's
still no
seatbelts
or anything
no.
like that. Like, it's the weirdest thing in the
which
world.
Which is interesting. We're trying to teach youth to put on a seatbelt, to mind manners, to do all these things. But yet, like, their everyday commute. Oh, don't worry. Don't put a seatbelt yeah. on. That doesn't make sense.
Our most precious cargo in this mm-hmm. world, and we don't put them in seatbelts when they're going to school.
Yeah, because like, a bus is so safe, right? I mean, it's top
right,
heavy.
Right, yeah. that's another thing. I mean, maybe we should be sending kids, if we're going to get no seatbelts, maybe we should be sending them to school in tanks. Like, just something indestructible so they're safe.
Yes.
There's got to be a reason why. There's got to be a safety precaution. I can't imagine
yeah.
that it's gone by this long with everybody just kind of like, oh, wait, should we do something about that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. But
I don't know. Should we look into
like,
it?
I feel like I'm going to have to. Going to have to. For now, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast today with a high of 33. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. Snow showers likely again tomorrow, 33. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Stick around, everybody. CBS News at the top of the hour. After that, we'll be joined live and direct by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Get an update for you. May seem, it is pretty nice right now,
mm-hmm.
As far as January weather goes.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have Mother Nature rearing her ugly head coming up here tomorrow, maybe later today.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday is going to be a rough one. I want to get a update from Paul about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Katrina, I think that this applies differently to everybody as far as when we feel more productive in the day. Some mm. people feel more productive in the afternoon, some in the morning, different things like that.
Yep.
This story is interesting from that. A poll found the average office worker is most productive at 10:22 a.m., and then it's downhill from there.
Oh, no.
We hit our first big slump at about 1:27, mm-hmm. and then another one at about 2:06. It also found we tend to feel the most drained on Mondays and Fridays. The top things that can drain us in a typical workday are too much time in front of a computer, getting interrupted by colleagues, or not taking breaks.
Mm-hmm.
In general, 38% say that they feel more productive working in an office, while 22% feel like they get more done working from home, Everyone else said there's no big difference either way, apparently. Noise levels and not being able to control the thermostat were two big things that people don't like about being in an office. Wow, sure. Number one and two, the thermostat, number two on there. Interesting.
Yeah, well, heat, it makes you tired sometimes if it's too hot. So that makes sense, too.
True, yeah. So what's the best part? Two-thirds agree it's being around coworkers. So I think that right there, let's just go ahead and focus on that for a second, that all these people interview or question, and that was the big thing that they enjoy about work is working with people.
Yeah.
I think we can all take a little positive from that. That's a cool thing.
Yes, that makes a difference, definitely.
I would extend that only for me, because I would say that that is the case for me. I would just extend it to the audience as well. Like, I consider the audience my coworkers. I work for this city. I work for the audience. I work for to entertain them. This isn't about the Jimmy show. This is their show. that kind of thing. So I kind of feel like they're colleagues.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
The productive thing is very interesting to me. I think in doing this job as long as I have, that it's kind of retrained my body, my brain, to where now, even on a Saturday or Sunday, when I don't have to be up at 5 in the morning or whatever, not only am I up, but I'm getting things done.
Sure, like, great. It's your productive Sunday in the morning.
Especially after like 6 or 7, when my body realizes, oh, I don't have to be on the air today.
Yeah.
So I can focus on this, what I wanted to get done, and that I wanted to get done, and these things and stuff. So I think that I'm probably more productive then. But then I think about it, and if you were to see me after 9 at night, I'm a blur. If I'm not just sitting there working, researching a topic or whatever, I'm a blur running around doing different things. I like working at night. I like the night. I prefer to get things done at night.
You like the night, but you don't function as well in the night.
Probably not.
So it is interesting because there is like a morning person and then the night owl or however you want to say it. But everybody has their times, like this article is saying. But yeah, so that's where maybe you need to take a nap in the afternoon so you can be more productive at night and enjoy that nighttime. But still, obviously, your job, you have to be up early so you can entertain us to some level here, James.
Yeah, it's a smart idea. I actually am just waiting for Midstate to offer napping 101 because I'm horrible at napping. I'm very bad at it.
I can try to talk to them about that.
Yeah, I could use any tips I could get. Is there a time of the day you find you're more productive? Not just, I ask, and certainly because of the work that you do, your family, Natural Foods, you get there pretty early, probably leave pretty, later in the day. But you're also a mom, you've got other things going on, you're jumping in water.
Doing it all, I guess. I'm definitely a morning person, definitely. Yeah. I remember in college, I would wake up and I must have been dreaming or processing like how I'm supposed to write a paper or something. I would wake up and I'd be like, and I just like spit out my paper in the morning. And I was just saying this to Jason, my husband, last night, like, oh, it's a good reminder of like certain deadlines and certain things. I'm not a procrastinator at all, but certain things you can't force until it's ready.
Yeah.
But back to the original question, I am definitely a morning person. Like I function better in the morning at like after 9 or 10, I'm not very focused and my brain is kind of checked out for the day. Same with like driving. I don't really want to drive too late because I get tired and I don't like that. But I think like ideal would probably be my brain functioning better at like 7, not like at a 5 o'clock kind of early, more at like a 7 or 6:30 kind of functioning.
So how do you, and I think this can be helpful for anybody out there, especially people in a similar situation, when it gets to 5-7 at night and you're beat or your mind's not there, but you've got still stuff to do. You've got these little monsters running around, wonderful monsters running around and everything. I call all children monsters.
Thank you.
In a wonderful way, in a good way.
Yeah.
That going on, how do you keep that energy? How do you keep yourself focused, or how do you try to do those things?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely the tasks we have to do at the night. And I get so much more done when my kids are sleeping. So that's why morning is productive, because I'm functioning better. And then night, they're going to bed and I'm like, okay, where's that project list? And it's so easy to, all right, you put the kids to bed and you're tired and you just want to go on your phone or you just want to watch a movie. But yeah, you have to get like those 8 things done that you procrastinated on. So I usually will try to tackle like half of that list, and I won't even touch my phone until after I've done some of it, because otherwise, you know, the squirrel brain, right? You're like, oh, what was I supposed to do again? I'm on 12 other topics. So I find like I put my kids to bed, or we put our children to bed, and then like it's like, okay,
projects. And it also helps that Jason is always busy working on like building our house or something like that. So he has his projects. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'm motivated because you're motivated right now.
Right.
So I'm going to get this done.
I think, and this kind of ties into something we were talking about earlier about resolutions and everything, mm-hmm. that a buddy, that accountability buddy, yes. kind of, not maybe that's not intentional. Oh, Jason's working, so I have to work. It's yeah. not necessarily that.
Right.
But that. That co-vibe, mm-hmm. that kind of like it builds people, kind of it's contagious in some ways. And it's supportive in mm-hmm. its own way without trying to necessarily be supportive. This person's motivated. I want to be motivated. It is. I can see that. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that too with others. So mm-hmm. I see what you're talking about there. That's yeah. interesting.
We all have our times, right?
We do. And it's our time to talk about this amazing thing that our friends at Civic Media are doing. That was the best segue I had.
So good.
Civic Media is doing this $1 million advertising giveaway. We're doing this one day. This is a fun thing that we're doing. And there's a couple of different tiers to this. There's a couple of different things to keep in mind. But the biggest one, I think, is save the date, Thursday, January 26th. You want to sign up for this. You can go to our website, civicmedia.us/million. Be sure to mention the morning show, mention WFHR, give us some bragging rights. But get in on this and find out how exciting it could be to be a part of not only things at Civic Media, but find out for free. It's a free mm-hmm. contest, everybody. We're giving away $1 million. It starts off right at 9 in the morning on January 26th, and it'll go until the money's gone, and it won't take too long, I don't think.
That's